Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 13 and verses 18 through to 35, which you'll find on page 1047 of the Blue Church Bibles and page 972 in the Brown Church Bibles. And Anne's going to come and read that for us now. Thank you.
Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Is it like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden? It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Is it like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour, until it worked all through the dough?" Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you and where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last, who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, 'I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow and on the third day, and I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
We often use the phrase "the kingdom of God." It appeared in that reading there which Anne gave us from Luke's Gospel. We sing about it. We sung, "Jesus is King." But what do we mean and what do we understand by the kingdom of God? At its most basic, a kingdom must have a king. Or, ladies, a queen, I know. But it must have a king as its ruler. For there to be a kingdom, there must be a king. What makes the United Kingdom the United Kingdom? Well, it's this gentleman. There he is, King Charles III in some of his regal splendour. And he's even older than I am, so we've got somebody in line to follow him. There he is. We must have a king. King Charles now, and God willing, King William in the days to come, in the years to come. The kingdom of God, therefore, is therefore where God is the ruler, where God is the king. God is king everywhere and at all times, surely, yes. But what we're here, this side of when the Lord Jesus returns, there are rebels against that kingdom. There are pretenders to his throne. Can we see this next picture? And if you know who that gentleman is, there's a special admiration for you if you do. Not you, Mrs. Cracknell, you know. That is Franz of Bavaria. Franz of Bavaria is the Stuart claimant to the throne of the United Kingdom. The House of Stuart, the last monarch in that reign was Queen Anne, 1714. But Bonnie Prince Charlie's family and all those still maintain, without a great deal of vigour, it has to be admitted, a claim to the throne of the United Kingdom. There he is, Franz of Bavaria, the Stuart pretender to the throne. And others are lying in wait behind. There's Sophie of Liechtenstein, you know, the equivalent of Prince William. When Franz of Bavaria disappears off the scene, there will be Sophie of Liechtenstein, the heir presumptive to the Stuart claim to the throne. Who is the pretender to Lord's throne here? Well, it's Satan, isn't it? The prince of the world. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to overthrow that pretender, to drive him out by triumphing over him at Jerusalem. By nature and inclination, we are all rebels against God, inclined to think that we ought to be the king of our lives, not God himself. But Jesus has brought his followers into his kingdom here and now, because we call him Lord. We obey him. We are subject to him. We are his kingdom. Eventually, he will be revealed to all the world and initiate a new heaven, a new earth, purged of all pretenders and rebels, the fulfillment of the kingdom. In the meantime, what we sometimes refer to as these last days, in the meantime, how is God's kingdom of believers in this world to grow? Is a question we might ask. Who is going to be in it? We might ask. There are issues that were true for the hearers of Jesus then. They needed to know, they wanted to know. And so they asked him questions and he answered them. And his replies relate to us also, don't they, today? So we're going to look at those after the next hymn. Please find again that passage from Luke, which Arne read to us. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 35, in which the Lord gives us a lot of information about the kingdom of God. He gives that in answer to questions which are posed in verse 23. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He gives it in answer to warnings. Verse 31, you know, he responds and says something about the kingdom there. And he gives some direct teaching on it in verses 18 to 22. So he's giving us his account of the kingdom of God, which begins here as we obey him and goes on into heaven. We all see how he answers four questions. We all need to know or want to know about these questions. In any kingdom, what is the king like? How can I belong to that kingdom? When can I join it? And who else is there alongside me in that kingdom? The four things we're going to look at this morning. What's this king like? How can I belong to his kingdom? When can I join it? And who else is there alongside me? Let's look into the first one of those. What is this king like? The king is Jesus. And this passage shows us aspects of him we need to know. And the first of those is that he loves his people. He loves his people. You can see that in verse 34. How often have I longed to gather children together? Even in verse 24, he's urging people to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. He wants people in his kingdom. He loves people. He wants them there. Our history is littered in this land and lands across the water with kings and monarchs who didn't have a great love for their people, thought they were the scum of the earth at times. But our king loves his people. The question that was posed in verse 23, are only a few people going to be saved, was common amongst the Jews of that time. All Jews were agreed that heaven awaited Jews only. But would there be lots of them, or only a few there? Was heaven just for the specially holy few, like the Pharisees and the scribes, with the riffraff, the poor, the hoi polloi, the plebs, whatever word you use, the basket of deplorables, to use a modern phrase from Hillary Clinton, outside? That's what this man wanted to know. Would there be a few or many? And in reply, Jesus doesn't answer. He's not going to go there. He's not going to bother about numbers. Lovely though numbers are. That's not what the most important thing is about his kingdom. He is a discerning king who sees what is important. And so it says what matters is, are you going there? It's not a matter of how many people are going to be there, but are you one of the people, however many there are, that is going to be there? Verse 24 is very pointed. I tell you, he's addressing this man who is in front of him. I tell you, try to enter. When he says, verse 24, make every effort, he's saying, you make every effort. We don't always need to put that you in, do we? You know, I could tell somebody in my classroom, go outside. And they knew who it was. It's evocative, it's a command. You make every effort to get in. He wants people. He wants people in his kingdom. He's loving of them. And Jesus is the same today. He addresses each of us with a compassionate concern. Make every effort to come into my kingdom. And he has devoted himself to the task of making it possible for you to enter that glorious place where he lives as king forever. By our sin, by our weakness, we are not destined for heaven. But he came from heaven, where all was glory, where everybody worshipped him as king in perfection. And he came to this earth, as we know in one of our memory verses, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He loved us that much that he would come from heaven to do that. He was not put off by threats to his person during the lifetime. The Pharisees come to him and said, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. No, says Jesus, I know where I'm going and I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, though that's where the prophets get killed. He was on his way to Jerusalem, ready to die for his people, and he goes to Jerusalem and does die for his people in love. He dies on the cross cruelly. But he dies in payment for the sins of his people. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus lays down his life. He longs for folk to come to him. Verse 34 is a very gentle picture, isn't it? How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Very gentle picture where he compares himself, interestingly, with a female character, a hen, doesn't he? Now, I am not an expert on hens and chickens by any means, I know there are some here. I don't wish to trespass on their wisdom. But this is what the Lord says. He says, "A hen shelters its chick under its wings." So I take him at that as his word. And it's a lovely picture, isn't it? Drawing those people under his wings. He wants you there. He has compassion and love for his people. But that does not mean he is a soft touch. Certainly not. He is strong. He is decisive. This king is one who can bring together both compassionate love and firm authority. There will come a time when the open door of opportunity to enter that kingdom closes, and those who have followed him get their reward. But he's not to be trifled with. He's not that, shrug your shoulders, it'll be okay. Those who are his enemies, who have refused his rule, who have followed the pretenders along with the other rebels, will get their appropriate reward. Verses 26 and 27. They will be locked out. They will be condemned. It's not enough to have known that he was the king. Did you honour him as king? It's not enough to have heard his teaching. Did you believe it? This image, where the people say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets," doesn't imply a deep, close relationship, but only a passing interest. Would you describe somebody as your friend, somebody you were close to, if the only time you ever met them was when you bumped into them down the street? The only time you ever eaten drinking in the same place was when they were in Costa's with somebody else and you happened to be there. It's that sort of separation, I suppose, that sort of lack of intimacy. These were not people who listened and followed to Jesus. No, he's not to be trifled with. You will need to have been close to him. You will have need to have sought him here. He will not turn a blind eye to disrespect. A king who is both strong and decisive and authoritative, who loves his people, but in due time will give his people who have been obedient and faithful to him their reward. And those who have disobeyed him and follow the pretender to the throne, their due reward. So how do I belong to that kingdom is the second thing. We've got a king who is lovely and powerful, the person we should want to follow. How do I belong to that kingdom if I have seen him as that way? By responding. Repentance and turning to him, the words that are used in Scriptures. But here there's a key word. At the end of verse 34, "I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You must be willing. There is no way, no reason that you cannot believe and trust this wonderful king. He's done all he said he would do after all. Verse 32, he says, "On the third day I'll reach my goal." And you know what the image of that is, don't you? That third day? Yeah, he offered himself up to humiliation, rejection and suffering on the cross for his people. He was dead. He was buried. But he was raised on that third day. He has ascended into heaven. All that he promised he would do, and that was promised from centuries before that the Messiah would do, has been done. There is no reason you cannot believe. Will you That's what he's saying to his hearers, then as now. He's going to come back. He's going to take his people into heaven with him, he says. But since he's done everything else that he said he would do, you've got no reason to doubt him. Are you willing to trust him? It's over to us, isn't it? Nobody else can decide our will for us. Nobody can will it on our behalf. If you are willing, and if you say you have entered his kingdom, then that will be seen in how you strive to follow him. Verse 24, make every effort. You don't give up. The word translated make every effort is a technical word, I'm told. For the endeavour of an athlete to win, that's what it means in the Greek. And from it we get our word agonise. Following him is something that's not half-hearted. It's whole-hearted. One's willingness to be in the kingdom is shown by how close you want to get to Jesus. What degree of friendship have you with him? Do you belong to the subjects of this king by being willing to accept what he has done for you and for me because of who I and you are, sinners separated by nature? And will you therefore keep in step with him throughout the journey of this life? How do I belong? By being willing to believe and trust him. Okay, wonderful king. This is how I belong. Perhaps you're saying, when can I join? When can I come into this kingdom? Now. That's it. You don't often get a very short point in a sermon from me, but this is it. When can you join this kingdom? Now. Don't wait. Time is coming when he will return, and nobody knows or sees it coming. He will come and he will close the door. It'll be too late then. The urgency, you know, was borne up on the Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn and believe. If it was true then in the Apostle Paul's day, it's true much more now, isn't it? We do not know what tomorrow may bring. Join this kingdom now. And then finally, who else is going to be there? Perhaps at last we get round to this question that was posed to Jesus, something about it. Are only a few people going to be there? Jesus' questioner wondered if many or few would be in the kingdom. But as a Jew, he probably thought only Jews would be there, whether few or many. But that's not so, says Jesus. There will be the direct descendants of Abraham, verse 28. Yeah, you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Yes, there will be the direct descendants of Abraham. But there'll be many, many more besides. Verse 29. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Tremendous picture, isn't it? Wonderful picture. And the Lord emphasizes it two or three times in these verses. See, the picture of the mustard seed in verse 18 and 19. The mustard seed that grows to a big tree in which the birds come and nest. That's an image that the Jews of Jesus' time would have understood perfectly well, because throughout the Old Testament, the birds coming into the tree was an image used by prophets like Daniel or Ezekiel to show nations coming under the protection of some great power. And Jesus is saying, all nations will send people into my kingdom. Wonderful image. And like the yeast spreads through the dough that's mentioned there in verse 21, so Jesus' words will spread throughout the whole world. They may be given to a few, but they will be heard and believed by countless millions throughout the whole world over the years. The yeast works inside the dough, doesn't it? And it's our Lord's words applied to us by the Holy Spirit that work inside us and are doing so now. But it needs to be introduced to the dough, isn't it? Yeast isn't naturally part of the dough. It needs to be put into the flour. The words and promises of Jesus' kingdom need to be put out there for all the world to respond to. Now we do that. Jeff's been in Hazelgrove this week. Satnam and Chris are going to do door-to-door this week. The word is put out there, and sometimes in our culture here, in our nation, we'd get downhearted by how few people around us appear to respond. Don't get like that. Don't feel like that. There's a wonderful Victorian poem by Arthur Clough. Say not the struggle naught availeth. Don't worry, I'm not going to recite the four verses. I couldn't remember them. I had to look them up this morning. But it's a wonderful poem that says, the struggle that we're in might not seem to yield us an inch of progress, but we're holding down some of that pretender's rebel army. And elsewhere on the battlefield, our brothers and sisters are making great progress. So that the final kingdom will come in, because that is the Lord's will. An uncountable number of believers in King Jesus from across the years and across the nations will be coming into that kingdom. Every language, every tongue, every colour of skin, every degree of learning, every sort of upbringing, God calls them into his kingdom. And that book of Revelation at the end of the Bible tells us, gives us wonderful images of that, doesn't it? Because you were slain, and with your blood purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and they will reign on the earth with King Jesus. Do you want to be amongst those millions of people who are going to be there? People from every tongue and tribe. You can be. You can be. Jesus says, those who come to me, I will not cast out. And he won't. You come to him, and he will take you into his kingdom. This is the king. This is the kingdom. Will you belong to it?